Today's Mishnah in Masechet Idiot, brought to you from Yerushalayim HaKodesh, is Idiot Perek Aleph, Mishnah Yud Aleph. So we've had various Mishnayos. Again, the Seder of the Inyanim in Idiot is extremely varied. We talk about different things all the time. And our latest has been looking at various things that maybe Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel argue about, and then not only is it, there's a third shita, not like either of them, but it's Shammai himself who actually introduces that third shita. So continuing on with that particular list of Mishnayos, we have another case like that. And that case is a kisei shel kala. So this is something that we also had in Kalim, if you remember. And the idea over there is that if you break a kli so that it doesn't do the thing that it was made to do until you're miyachin it for this new thing, it's considered to be broken and it's not mekabel tuma. So shviras kelim, even kelim that cannot find taira any other way, like kli cheres, if you break it, it loses its tuma. Now, how about a type of usage which is very sophisticated, and it still would be a perfectly useful item, but it's not useful in the way that it was originally set aside for. So you bought a special chair for a wedding. These are called these beautiful bridal chairs where the bride sits, and before the groom comes, you know, and does the whole shtick with the covering her hair and everything like that. So it's like a very fancy chair, which you see at all weddings, and they decorate it with all types of beautiful material and flowers and so on. So it has to have certainly a back support, and it has to have armrests that you can put your hands on. It's a chosheva chair. So suppose you remove all the chipuyim. You're left with just like a stool. You took off the back support, you took off the armrests, but it's still a stool and you can sit on it. Beit Shammai says, look, it's still a chair, and therefore it's not considered to be broken. Whereas Beit Hillel or Matarin, it was meant lechatchila not as a stool. It was meant for a column. And therefore it's considered to be broken, even though it still serves the overall purpose for that which it was made l'chatchila. Whereas Shammai says, oh man, forget about those shitas. Af malbein shel kisei tameh. Forget about this question of whether you actually need to have the chipuyav. Even if all that you were left with, according to Shammai, was just the malbein. And the malbein itself is just basically the frame. So you could sit on the frame. Yes, I understand. But you'd think that that's not good enough. It doesn't matter. If you have a frame and it can still be sat on, since it was a kisei, it doesn't lose its din of a kisei. As long as it's usable, even in the craziest way, for the same basic idea, that would also be sufficient in order to be make it tummy. Others learned that the malbein means even the seat. That's just like a malbein. It's just a square piece of wood, and it's no longer attached at all, and that's all that you have. That is still, you could sit on it when it's sitting on the floor, and that would also be considered to be a seat, in the sense that you're not sitting literally on the damp ground. So that's also considered to be a kisei. Why would you even need for it to be looking like a stool? And therefore, for sure, in the other cases that you were talking about, obviously it would be able to be tummy. Whereas,
what was the first shot again?
The first shot was basically a framework, a misgeret. There's nothing there that you could comfortably sit on. What you have is you have the frame of a chair. And not only were the chipuyim taken off, but even the seat itself is taken off and has to be replaced on the frame. So you can sit. I mean, in a way, it's awfully, awfully uncomfortable, you know, but you can put your rear end on the seat, but it's not going to feel very comfy. And nonetheless, Beit Shammai is saying that it would still be, Shammai is saying that it would still be Tomei. Masha Enkin, according to both Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, that for sure would not be Tomei. And the only machlokas between them was whether it requires, at least, does it actually need its armrest or its backrest or not? That was the machlokas. Another case would be a kisei shekiva'o ba'areva. So Beit Shammai are mitam'in and Beit Hillel are mitaharim. So let's say you had a frame like that. It was actually a chair. And now you put on your areva. Your areva is that large container for mixing dough in. And now you've made that the chair. You put it on in a way that that's its use from now on. You're going to be using it as a base for making challah. So Beit Shammai is mitayer. Beit Shammai is mitame, because according to them, you're not mevatel one kli by adding a particular shimush of the areva, and therefore it's still considered to be a chair. Now, the difference of whether it's considered to be a chair or not is it mitame tumas mishkav u'moshav? Because something that isn't meant to be sat on, remember we have the klal of amod v'naaseh melachtenu. If you're using something that somebody will tell you, get up, this is not what this is used for, let's say a bucket, turn a bucket upside down and sit on the bucket. The guy who uses that bucket to do the floors is going to say, yeah, please get off of that so I can do my work. That's called amod v'naaseh melachtenu. So in that case, it would not be considered to be miyuchet for mishkav u'moshav. And if a zov or someone, a yoledes, a nida, would be yoshev on it, it would not be mekabel tumas mishkav u'moshav. So now the question is, if you've got a kneading trough on it, and here for sure, if you sat inside the areva, the guy would say, will you please get out of there so we can do make our challah. The question is that mevatel the original shimush of the kisei and making it to something that's no longer roi for mishkav u'moshav? So Beit Shammai says it does not. And it's still considered to be fundamentally a chair, which now it's a chair that has an areva on it, but it's still a kli that is miyuchet for midras. Whereas Beit Hillel are mitahari, because now the chair has become batel. You have a new situation, koveya the areva, and obviously an areva is not miyuchet for yeshiva, and it's not mekabel tumas mishkav u'moshav. And Shammai here too argues on both of them. And he says, even if you made the chair, ha'asuiba. You made it milechatchila in this fashion. It had never been used as a chair for sitting. It would nonetheless be a chair, because a chair with an areva on it is a chair, is a chair. And it's not defined by the fact that you originally had used it as a chair. Mashenken, that is different even than Beit Shammai, because according to Beit Shammai, if it was lechatchila that way, so then for sure it wouldn't be mitame mishkav u'moshav. All that Beit Shammai held was that it doesn't lose its shame because of the fact that you put something else on it. But here, according to Shammai, even if it was made that way lechatchila, since it's made like a chair, even though it's a strange kind of chair that's used for doing challah baking, it's also going to be included in Tumas Mishkav U'moshav.
Brother, why? I don't understand this. Why put a chair into an areva?
It doesn't mean into an areva. It means as an areva. Yeah, it's a very misleading language. It would be a bit strange. No, it basically means you have a portable areva. That instead, what you can do is you move it and it goes together with its, it has its own back and its own legs. It looks like a chair, but it's very usable. You want to move it. You want to make your challah while you're sitting on your couch. So you bring over your areva and you work on it in front of your couch, basically. It's just that it's a permanent areva, a portable areva is basically what it is. It just looks like a chair, except instead of a place for sitting on, there's a place for putting dough in. So Shammai Tainus, that looks like a chair, and because of that, we treat it like any other chair. to Bima Kabbalatim. Perek Aleph Mishnah Yud Beis. Now, we now have a whole other list of things which are not the cases of where Shammai argues on both Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. The common denominator of all the rest of the cases in our perek is that initially there's a machlokas Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai, and in the end, Beit Hillel is meida to Beit Shammai. So these are all of those cases, and the Rambam points out, well, I mean, how come we don't explain why we're saying these cases? I mean, we talked about before, why do we talk about the Yochid and so on and so forth? And he says, this is very obvious that this comes to teach a person that even though you've got plenty of rayas to your point of view, and if you want to be stubborn and continue fighting for your own shita, people can fight forever for their own shita. There's so many proofs that you can bring that sound good. And yet, what do you see? When Beis Hillel recognized that the weight of the evidence and the Seichel HaYosher was in favor of Beit Shammai, never did they pursue continued proofs. Instead, they said, you're right. Okay, so Elu Devarim Shechazru Beit Hillel Lohorot Kedivrei Beit Shammai. So we've got these Mishnayos scattered all over Shas. The first one is the famous Mishnah that we had in Yevamos about the woman, Aisha, Shaol Chabala, there the story begins at the beginning. She went overseas with her husband, and the world is in a state of peace. There's no reason for us to believe that they were attacked, and there was no arguments between them. That's how the Mishnah begins over there. Here we're just talking about the last piece. She comes, Mimidinat Hayam, and she says, my husband died overseas. She doesn't have any proof whatsoever that her husband died. So she says, Mit Baali, halacha is, we believe her, and she is allowed to get married. She says, Mit Baali, and didn't leave any children. She's believed even to get Yibum. So we're going to be matir her to marry the Erva, to marry as an Eshes Ish, another man, and so on. Now, initially, now the reason for this, if you remember, was that at the end, we say that since there are so many, the story over there was that since she's going to end up becoming asura to both people, and she's going to end up losing her ketuvah and any support that she has from both of them, so she's going to be basically very careful not to get into a situation like that, which would be her ruination. And therefore, we believe that if she comes into Beis Din, she has sufficient basis to be absolutely certain that that is what happened. And in order to avoid the curse of a woman being stuck as an almana chaya, because we don't know, we'll never be able to prove in very many, many cases, we'll never have absolute proof from someone that happened to have been there at the time that he died. So to avoid agunot, the Chachomim were very, very makel as long as they could find a basis. And there they were makel. Now, Beit Hillel says, now wait a minute. The only time that we find that the Chachomim were makel was in the Maaseh Shehayah at that time, which was that 10 people had gone out of the city and they were going out to fields which were nearby and to work together and to help each other do the Kitzira. And one of them was bit by a snake and died, and that was near the town. And these people come back, and they say a few days later, "We terrible thing happened, so-and-so was bit by a snake, we buried him." And they all say that that's what happened. The woman comes, and she says, that's what they told me. And the what happened was at that time is that the Beis Din sent to check. And sure enough, it was true. So they said, at that time, it says that the Chachamim said, because of this, we see that Aisha Shamra made Baali Tinaseh, made Baali Titiyamim, and therefore they based that heter on this particular event. But that's the only time, says Beit Hillel, that they were matere. It was only Baba Amina Katsir Bilvad, and Beit Shammai said to them, it makes absolutely no difference. Achasaba minakatsir, achasaba minazeitim. I mean, come on, they say to Beit Hillel. You're telling it has to be only like that case. And what about they went out in the Katsir Shochitim? What about if it would have been the Katsir Saurim? Then it wouldn't have been good. And what about if it was for olive picking? Then it wouldn't have been good. And what about if it was for grape picking? I mean, it's ridiculous. What's the difference? The case, obviously, here is not the issue. The issue is on the reliance of the woman because of the unbelievably severe consequences that are catastrophic to her. That was the whole basis of it. And therefore, makes no difference. That's why they put it this way. Who cares where they're coming from? And who cares how far away it is? What it's, how far exactly? Only 300 feet? Or is it outside of the Tchum? Makes no difference. It could be even Mimidinat HaYam. The only reason that we talked about that case is because that was the case Shaya. And Lo Dibru Bekatsir Ela Bahoveh. And in the end, Chazru Beit Hillel Lohorot Kebeit Shammai. Now, in the same situation, the question was, okay, we believe her to get married. Now, she is suing the estate for her ketubah. Or, now we want to take the Yerusha, and we want to give the Yerusha to the Yavam, based on what it is that she said, and now the Yavam married her. So, is that also included in this takana? Says Beit Shammai, absolutely. If we allowed her to get married, then we are allowing her to collect her nyukzuva, which is mominous. Whereas Beit Hillel omrim, I understand that if we need to be mater the aguna, okay, so we're semech on this to be mater the yisr, but to be motzi is to be motzi momon from other people, for that we know, al pishvayim edim yakum davar. She doesn't have witnesses. We can't base it on her psychology and say that she can collect money from somebody else. Whereas Beit Shammai said to them, that's insane. He tartem et ha'erva ha'chamura, lo tatira et ha'mamon ha'kal. I don't understand. How can you, in the same case, say that we really have a doubt as to whether the husband had died? If you were ready to be matir, even marrying an Eishes Ish, or an Achotz, marrying Eshet Achiv, how can you be mater that and not be mater the associated money? Amrulahem Beit Hillel, well, why not? I mean, don't we find, but sinu she'ina achim nichvasim lenachal alpia, are we going to say that all of the brothers, let's say, of the husband, that they are in line to be yoresh the husband. Can they go and take over the money of the husband now based on the fact that she said that he died? So there's obviously a difference between the aguna issue and the issue of the mamon. Amru lahem Beit Shammai, look, take a look at the language of the ketuvah and you will see exactly what the din is. And then you'll realize there's nothing to fight about. What does it say in the ketuvah, in the nusach of the ketuvah? The nusach in the tenai of the ketuvah is, im tinas'i la'acher, as soon as you get married to somebody else, then you take everything that is written here in this document. Until that time, you could live in the house as an almona, and you'll still be taken care of by the house. The moment that you leave the home to marry again, so then this is what you get. Whatever it says over here, you could take the property that you brought in and the amount that was written for you in the ketuvah with the tosefet of the ketuvah. Now, did she get married or did she not get married? Does it say in the ketuvah, when you marry, you get this ketuvah? So why are we discussing this? Chazru Beit Hillel, Lahorot Kedivrei Beit Shammai. And so in the end, they were made at that when it comes to the collection of the ketuvah, there's no question that that was the original agreement, and therefore, of course, she will collect her ketuvah.